The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's happening. You good?
I'm good, man. I'm cool as a cucumber back here. How you doing, man?
Cool as a cucumber, Kelly Bidlin.
Where the hell did that saying come from?
Where's they say on Cole Caption over there and YouTube TV? Kelly Bin Laden.
I found that hilarious yesterday, yes. By the way. My family, not so much.
No,
did
really?
Not find it very funny.
They were upset with the poor typing?
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever that is.
Closed captioning, yeah.
Closed captioning, yeah.
Robots,
all right.
AI, get it right. Come on.
Come on. Got to get to who we got today. Dano Mataya. For that women's Sweet 16, we had him on last week. He gave Vatek out as a future shot, 40-1. We'll update things on the Sweet 16 and how he feels about Sweet 16 games, which on the women's side is always one game later than the men's side. Speaking of the men's side, VSiN's own Will Hill. Yes. The man who won the Circa College Basketball Challenge. The Humans Invitational. He will give us his thoughts on all Sweet 16 games, what he's bet, what he is about to bet, some NBA thoughts as well. We'll get it all done with Will. Mike Pritchard on the NFL. Dan Bespris from Sports Ethos on the NBA. As Paul George goes down with another injury yesterday. And when I say another, remember when they were in Vegas? What was that, the summer of 2012, I want to say?
I believe it right, yes.
And I remember running into Bradley Beal at the Wynn. And, you know, I'm a Washington guy. I was like, oh, wow, Bradley Beal. And he was like, his face was stone-faced. It was that same night. And I didn't know why. It was because they had all had witnessed this horrific, gruesome Paul George leg injury right under the basket. Because what do you call it? The stanchion? What do you call it right under the basket? Where it was too close to the court. And his leg got mangled. And he came back from it. And last night, God, I hope he's okay.
Me too.
Because it sort of inverted.
Yes. I mean, it's one of those.
His leg, that is.
It's one of those with, you know, without being a doctor.
You're not a physician.
Breaking news.
Let's point that out.
I mean, it looks like a hyperextension right of that knee. It's going the other way, but you don't know.
You don't know.
It could be just that, or it could have been hyperextended so bad that things get ripped.
We hope he's okay.
We got no word from the Clippers yet. He did the like walk off the court under help. But then once got into the tunnel, he was basically being carried by people.
Oh,
so.
Man. Man, oh, man. And as far as playoff implications, by the way, all Western Conference Clippers stuff in terms of making and missing playoffs, I don't see those up currently.
I found one shop.
We did
find one shop. PointsBet still has a yes-no price on the Clippers to make the playoffs up. As far as play-in tournament or anything, Gil, that's actually what I was going to look for this morning.
We don't see that.
That's all off the board. Yeah.
So, they are.
One shop right there, PointsBet to make the playoffs. Yes, still minus 2,000. No, plus 900.
Well, and just to sort of give that context also, the story with the Clippers is they are on the inside currently, got 9 games left in the season for the Los Angeles Clippers, but their 35 losses, if you go all the way to 11th and 12th, they're in 5th place, have 37 losses. So that whole Western Conference from 5 through 12, 8 teams, 2 of which will be in the playoffs, 2 of which will be out, 4 of which will be in the middle in the play-in, the Clippers are very dicey now if they don't have Paul George. Because if you look at their stats with and without Paul George, it is a marked drop-off in performance.
I mean, this team has struggled enough already with Kawhi and Paul George playing most of the season. If they don't have him, it's really hard to believe that this team is doing much at all in the playoffs. And then long term, right? If this is something more serious, this could carry into next year, and it's like this whole Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George thing. It almost never even had a chance because these guys are always hurt.
It's like it never happened.
It's like I don't
hope he's okay, man.
We're doing
really
hardwood handicappers later today. I feel like it's going to be a Clippers therapy session the entire time with JVT. Like, I mean, I feel for the fans out there.
VSiN.com/podcast for hardwood handicappers and all other podcasts. By the way, Matt Brown also coming on the show today to talk. WGC match play with us. Don't want to leave Mateo out of this. The other, and really the biggest thing that happened in sports globally yesterday, the World Baseball Classic Final.
Yeah.
Japan 3, United States of America 2. Congratulations to all who had Japan pre-flop to win it all. Jason Weingarten recommended that. I think Adam Burke did as well. Mm-hmm. I believe Lou Finocchiaro did. A bunch of people did. Jason also had the under in last night's game. Easy peasy.
Easy.
10 under 10. No matter what you got it at, that was easy peasy in the 3-2 final. And Shohei Ohtani. First of all, I never read tweets the first segment of a show. Can I just read this one? Because I have to say this because I don't want to let this get sort of... Alan Mitchell said, I have to admit, I've thought you've carried on a little too much about Ohtani MVP the last couple of years, but turns out you haven't carried on enough. Just wow, best player on the planet. Shohei Ohtani in the World Baseball Classic had a slash line of 435, 606, 739. 435 batting average, 606 on base, 739 slugging, with four doubles, a home run, 10 walks in the tournament, while also pitching to a 1.86 ERA with 11 strikeouts in 9 2/3 innings. I don't read the Alan Mitchell quote to say, oh, look how right we were. Of course we were right about Ohtani. I do not accept praise for being right about Shohei Ohtani, but what I want to stress is, let us never forget the cousin of that, where we had people on our air, Kelly, saying the most ridiculous nonsense about Ohtani for 2 years, right? I don't even want to repeat him. It was so ridiculous. And if you don't believe me how it was ridiculous, Humans actually texted me about it. Matt Humans doesn't text me about anything. But the comments were so outlandish that even Humans is like, bro, are you hearing this? I'm like, oh, yeah, I am. And so let's not forget that. And I'll go even this far, Kelly. And by the way, Shohei Ohtani, quote, I believe this is the best moment in my life, unquote. By the way, great tweet here from Ari Jordan at Ari Jordan underscore. Once again, Mike Trout's quest for victory has been squashed by his Angels teammates. So there you go. Once again, Mike Trout's quest for victory has been squashed by his Angels teammates. I would never recommend an MVP, a pre-flop MVP in baseball at like plus 210 or plus 250 or whatever Shohei is right now. But if there was ever a person where you said, yeah, but what if I just like get it now and then put it in my account, forget about it and revisit it in October? I couldn't really hate on you for that.
He's incredible. I think the one thing I didn't know until they were talking about it last night is all these, like, all the Babe Ruth comparisons, right?
Mm-hmm. Ruthian. We always used to call him Ruthian.
Where, like, Ruth only did the pitching and hitting for, like, two seasons. Yeah. And, like, Shohei's already done that longer than Babe Ruth has in Major League Baseball.
Shout out to Brian Anderson, who was doing the game last night. I believe it was Brian Anderson, who, you know, what it all culminated with yesterday was exactly what everybody wanted. Shohei coming in as a closer, which he hasn't done since 2016. Shohei comes in as a closer and ends up facing, for the final out of the game in a one-run game, Mike Trout, his Angels teammate. As Brian Anderson said, two of the greatest baseball players who have ever lived. Forget about now. Who have ever lived. And the sequence of that at-bat, I mean, it was just poetry, man. 88-mile-per-hour slider to begin things. Outside, 1-0. 100-mile-per-hour fastball swinging strike. Just blew it by Trout. Third pitch was an outside fastball to take the count to 2-1. This, by the way, after Mookie Betts hit into a double play after a Jeff McNeil walk. Fourth pitch on the 2-1 count, 100-mile-per-hour high fastball swinging strike as Trout swung through that one. 2-2 pitch was a 101.6 fastball in the dirt. And the pitch that did it, the sixth pitch, he goes off speed, 87-mile-per-hour slider, which was just
was nasty.
Phenomenal. Felica was joking. He was like, Jason Weingarten slept wrapped in the Japanese flag last night with all his bets, which is just such a great image. So congratulations to everybody from a betting standpoint who did have Japan.
That was a great bet. Those guys did a good job.
They did, man.
I tailed along, and then I did the greedy Kelly Bidlin thing where I was like, all right, like, they're up 3-1. I'm going to hedge off this a little bit, but I'm going to take that +1.5 on the run line with USA. So that was nice. Ended up being a very nice World Baseball.
Look at you.
Great baseball season. I'm looking forward for football getting here already.
Yeah. We have screens up on all throughout the studio. At least 80% of them are football. Like, who are your top five quarterbacks in the AFC? That kind of thing. Real quick, because we want to get to Will Hill here and talk college hoops. It's Miami. It's the second of the Sunshine Double second leg of the two-tournament Sunshine Double. They call Indian Wells and Miami the Sunshine Double before we go into clay season. And I have six plays today, Kelly. I never like it when I
shocked me.
I never like it when I like this many. By the way, yesterday's lost.
Especially when you went from, one to six.
Well, because it's a bigger, first of all, it's a bigger slate because they were just sort of starting the tournament yesterday.
Were they still qualifiers and stuff yesterday?
Qualifiers on the men's side. Uh-huh. They just trickled in with women's matches yesterday. Not trickled in, but they started on the women's side. But this is big now today. And remember, Indian Wells ended up being a win with the Carlos win. It was kind of break even on matches. But today I got five on the ladies' side, one on the men's side. On the ladies' side. And by the way, these are the prices I got them at. So I want to sort of update as I do these. And I'll check out what the numbers are right now just to do it in real time.
I'll pull them up for you.
Well, thank you, sir. I have, let's start on the ladies' side. Let's start on the men's. The men's is at the bottom. Jeffrey John Wolfe, I got it minus 137, since that's the only men's play. Minus 137, I got Jeffrey John Wolfe.
Minus 130 over DraftKings.
So you can get a better price than I can right now. Jeffrey John Wolfe against Alexander Bublik.
There's no way does he go by that full name?
J.J. Wolfe, he goes
okay,
by.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I was wondering. Like, it has. Jeffrey John, come on.
That's his real name, man. Sorry, goes by JJ. No. I take it Emma Raducanu at minus 106. She's right around that price right now against Bianca Andreescu. Can you believe that's a first-round match? I got Lesia Tsarenko at plus 104. Tsarenko's taking on Leila Fernandez. She's right at that price. Madison Brengel's the big dog, plus 285 against Amanda Anisimova. And you'll also see that I have Annalena Friedsam at even money, and that is Anna Blinkova at minus 139, rounding out the six. Will Hill on College Hoops. We'll repeat those later. It's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. By the way, not Brian Anderson last night. Joe Davis, let's give credit where credit is due, framing the moment very nicely. Real quick, back to the tennis plays, and then I want to get Kelly's World Golf Championship match play bets in, because that obviously starts today too. So again, the six bets in tennis. On the men's side, it's J.J. Wolf. You can get him at a better price, about 7 cents better than I got him at. J.J. Wolf taking on Alexander Bublik. And then on the women's side, from bottom to top there on the screen, Emma Raducanu against Bianca Andreescu, probably the best match on paper today. Lesia Tsarenko, plus 104 against Leila Hernandez. That's pretty darn good, too. The big dog is Madison Brengel at plus 285 against Amanda Anisimova. Her numbers have been tremendously down over time, and it's the kind of match that Brengel comes out of nowhere and she has these kinds of wins. Really poor serve historically, but great returns historically. Annalena Friedsam, is at even money in her match, or at least that's where I got her even money. Right now, just checking, she is at doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doo. You seeing her? Why don't I not? Oh, there she is, minus 102. So, she's 2 cents difference there. And then Anna Blinkova, minus 139, is the biggest price that I'm taking in this one. She's at about minus 135 against Julie Niemeyer, who has moments in slams, but has really just been off otherwise. World Golf Championship match play bets. Kelly, what do you got?
Yeah, we start here in about 15 minutes, actually less than that. I'm going to go right to my first round matchups, because the first matchup that goes off actually is J.J. Spahn and Matt Fitzpatrick. Played plus 125 on J.J. Spahn. Matt Fitzpatrick dealing with some injury stuff, I believe.
John Jeffrey Spahn?
What's that?
John Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'm sure same guy. Yeah, John Jeffrey. Other first round matchups I have today: Tom Kim over Alex Noren, minus 135. Tom Hoagie minus 135 over Aaron Wise. Shane Lowry minus 112 over Taylor Montgomery. Cam Davis plus 165 over Xander Schauffele. And then as far as some more futures to advance from their groups: Cantlay plus 133, Finau plus 145, Hatton plus 170, Cameron Young plus 180, Adam Hadwin plus 300, And then two outrights for me, Max Homa and Terrell Haddon this week.
All right, let's bring him in. VSiN's own Will Hill, contributor to the network and the champion of our college basketball circa contest that we just had. Prize money? Not really sure. Undisclosed. Cabana? Absolutely. How you doing, Will?
Yo, what's going on? I appreciate the nice introduction. What's going on?
Man, we're good. I mean, it's only the Sweet 16 tomorrow, Will. What do you mean, what's good? It's phenomenal. What a great time. Is this your favorite time of year?
I would say conference title week into the first four games of the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament is my favorite. After this, it sort of just settles into a basketball tournament. I still love it, but it's just the craziness of games all day, all night, conference tournament week, NCAA tournament week. Now it just sort of settles in. It's sort of relaxing. If you're live betting these games constantly, it takes a lot out of you. So it's sort of a nice blend here where now you just sort of cut the fat. It's only the good games. It's only the good teams. So there is some benefits to it.
The live betting point is so true. Like, it's full-time job. And now you're sort of like, okay, well, there's barely any games to live bet kind of attitude about it. And just from a fan's perspective, also how it drops off a cliff and you sort of almost, there's a little moment of depression where you're like, oh, it's over. It just started. Let's start with tomorrow night's games. Michigan State, Kansas State, let's throw them up on the screen, is the first to tip off at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific. A lot of survivor implications there. By the way, I'm at the point, Kelly, in life where if my girlfriend says something to me about something, I answer her, but in my head, all I'm going is Michigan State Thursday or Creighton Friday. That's all I've got. Michigan State, Kansas State, with Michigan State now the favorite, 1.5-point favorite. Arkansas, UConn tips off 45 minutes later. UConn, the 3.5-point favorite, a 4-8 game. Then 6 p.m. Eastern, it is FAU. Your Owls, Will, who you have going to the Final Four from your Megapod appearance against number 4 Tennessee. Tennessee is a 5.5-point favorite in seedings, we're talking here when I talk about the numbers. And then 45 minutes after that, it's the nightcap. Gonzaga, UCLA, maybe the best one on paper, UCLA, 2.5-point favorites. Which of those four do you like best? How many bets you make?
Boy, the one I would like best, I would stick with my Owls. I just think 5.5 is a lot of points. I think it wasn't that long ago. Everyone's down on Tennessee. Now they beat Duke, and everyone expects them to win this game. I'm not so sure. I think this will be a close game, low scoring. Tennessee still has a lot of issues on offense. Florida Atlantic can really spread the floor with their guard play. And I mentioned this in previous appearances this week. That was a tough spot for Florida Atlantic on Sunday night. Everyone rooting against them. They're not used to being the favorite. They're not used to having a target on their back. And they're up 11 or 12, and all next thing you know, they're down by 5 points. The whole building's going crazy rooting for them to lose. That was a tough spot to get out of. So I think they can sort of catch their breath, and I think they'll play well tomorrow. I think they'll be right in that game, and I actually think they win that game. I really like Florida Atlantic plus the 5.5. And I like UConn. I think that's a tough matchup for Arkansas. They really rely on getting to the rim to score. A lot of their points come at the basket. That UConn team is a tough team to finish against at the rim. There's so much size, so much strength. They're just so physical that if you make Arkansas beat you shooting the ball, I don't know that they can do it. And Arkansas does have a habit of leaving some of these shooters open on the perimeter. That's also a bad recipe against UConn. And, boy, I know Nick Smith is supposed to be like this top 7, top 10 pick. I don't know. Not like I watch him every game, but when I do watch him, I'm not like blown away like, oh man, this guy's an NBA All-Star, top 10 no-brainer pick. I'm shocked by that.
Supposed to be a lottery pick. Dr. Bob was the one who came on and quantified for it last week where he's like, I don't, and I remember asking him, I was like, does Eric Musselman know these stats that you're dishing out? It really is. It's almost like Arkansas benefited by accident, right? Because he was like, oh, we can't play him right now. Let's see what happens. And it went very well for them.
Yeah, that's a strange one. It just doesn't pass the eye test. Look, maybe 3 years from now, he's in the NBA and he's a multi-time All-Star and he's killing it. I don't know. I watch the games and I don't think he's this great player. But back to the games, I don't love the other two. I'm probably going to end up going with Michigan State and Survivor. I do lean towards Michigan State in the game. I think they'll have an advantage rebounding the ball. They shoot the three well. They don't shoot a lot of them. I haven't bought into this Kansas State team. That was a nice win against Kentucky. I thought Montana State would play well against them. They just seem to find ways to win these games. I thought they really stole that game from Kentucky, down 4 at the 4-minute mark. Kentucky couldn't make a shot. Kansas State hit some wild shots. I know it's cliche, but I think you have to go with Izzo in this spot. Now, if it gets up to 3, I think it's 2 now. If it gets up to 3, that's the line's getting away from you. But I lean towards Michigan State in that game. As far as the Zags UCLA, I have no feel for that game. I know Gonzaga's going to want to get up and run up and down the court. UCLA's going to want to slow the game down. So that's an interesting clash of styles. And I think I saw this. This is the what, 17th year anniversary of the game where Adam Morrison was crying and Gonzaga blew the game. It falls exactly to the day, which is strange.
Which, by the way, I've said this many times before on the show, if you ever want to go back on YouTube and listen to anything, like if you ever wanted a sports announcing opera, it was that game. It was the Adam Morrison crying game. Gus Johnson and Len Elmore. Where Gus going crazy, Len Elmore in complete disbelief was, and I'm getting chills just even talking about it. It was just so awesome from a broadcast standpoint. Some would argue Gus has never reached that height, has never quite reached that mountaintop again, but that moment was phenomenal so many years ago.
And Elmore doesn't do the games anymore, right? I haven't seen him in a while. I don't think he does the games anymore.
University of Maryland, great, Will. Len
for
Elmore.
Sure. What was the scenario? I know Gonzaga blew a late lead in that game. What were the particulars? I'm trying to think back. Was it like
there were missed free throws involved? Okay. I think I remember. Yeah. I'll have to go back and look. But yeah, it was and Adam Morrison, who again for those young now probably like who's Adam Morrison? He was one of, if not the considered the best player in college basketball at that moment, at least top
three. It was him and Redick that were just going back and forth for the player of the year as we go down memory lane here.
Yeah,
drafted third overall. So in that game, Gonzaga led by 15 at half, 9 with 3 minutes to go.
That's a tough one.
Whew, brutal. A few things, just reactions to what you were saying. I agree with you about Marquise Noel. Like, he was just unbelievable for Kansas State. Could he duplicate that kind of performance? I don't know. With all the stars that are mentioned in this tournament so far, I actually think that your point about Florida Atlantic in the second half is a great one. And Jonnell Davis was a man amongst boys. Like, just when you thought Florida Atlantic had no answers, he calmly got back out on the court. He's like, I got this. And they rolled. And I just thought it was an amazing performance. We also talked about how Houston's second half performance was great in terms of just really fighting back from a deficit and it being great in the moment. Houston coming back from a 10-point deficit against Auburn at the half. The Michigan State comment about Survivor, let me just seize on that before we go to break. I think I'm taking them as well. Those of us who have taken Florida Atlantic don't have that option. I think I'm taking them as well, but I think everybody's probably taking them in seed-incentivized pools. So I would imagine it's going to be a massive percentage, but I like it in the end, but we could all be out very quickly, I guess is what I'm saying.
It's either that or you risk running out of teams because I want to go UConn Friday, probably want to go Creighton on Saturday. So I don't know what else. I mean, sometimes you just got to do it.
Other way around. Creighton Friday, UConn Saturday.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, let's do the Friday games. Let's talk NBA. Will Hill, VSiN's own Will Hill, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. That's with two E's on the V. On the other side, see if he has any thoughts on NFL draft and beyond as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with our MLB betting guide. It's available now and has futures, team previews, and best bets. Steve Mackinnon with power ratings on every team, plus Adam Burke breaking down how the new MLB rules will impact bettors. And let me just say this again. Nobody, and I mean nobody on planet Earth, writes better baseball pieces than Adam Burke.
The best.
Period. End of story. Whether you bet baseball every day or are looking for valuable futures bets, our betting guide has it all. Sign up today and get full access to VSiN for 30 days for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. By the way, RIP Willis Reed.
Yeah.
A player who was, before really all of our times that are in studio currently, even my own, he dies at age 80, two-time NBA champion, two-time finals MVP, the MVP of the 69-70 season, Kelly, but really in lore will always be remembered as the guy who came back from injury, right, and showed up to play a game that nobody expected him to play in the NBA finals when the Knicks took on Wilt Chamberlain's Los Angeles Lakers. And proceeded to hit the first two shots of that game. And so anytime anybody shows up out of nowhere from injury, it's always considered, is this going to be a Willis Reed moment? So that's the, by the way, NBA Rookie of the Year in 1965, in addition to being MVP in 1970, one of the NBA's, you know, top 50 when they did the top 50 players of all time, then the top 75. And that game 7 of the NBA Finals is what I'm referring to. May 8th, 1970, a day that was etched in history by Willis Reed, limping, got a little hitch in his giddy up coming out of the locker room to just bring and raise the level of the Knicks and of Madison Square Garden in general. Willis Reed passing away at the age of 80. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from New York Mets 16. How much did Ohtani raise his value striking out the multi-time MVP Mike Trout to end the game on the now grandest baseball stage? The Angels can acquire an entire team if they trade him at the deadline. What say you? Yeah, probably so. J-Rod commenting on the Nevada Gaming Control Board approving casinos to accept wagers on a series of sporting events along with Golden Tee and the World Series of Poker. Final table gaming, and J-Rod points out, and we still can't get quarter prices in tennis. So true.
Don't want to see me at the Golden Tee.
You don't want to. You
don't want to see me at the Golden Tee machine.
You do not want to see Kelly Bidlin at the Golden Tee.
Better bring that money. You ain't leaving with it.
Bud Delivery Guy, thanks Jason Weingarten for releasing Japan in the WBC at 4-1 on a numbers game. Scola, good morning, Skill Alexander. Paul George injured. Shocker. Glass Joe's in the NBA, George, Leonard, Anthony Davis, and Love. Yeah, but you gotta cut Paul George some slack on that. Those are two freak leg injuries. Hope he's okay. Spike Magruder, listen to this, Kelly. Mike Trout has had 3 swinging strikes in only 24 of his 6,174 career MLB plate appearances. Wild. He had 2 in that at-bat against Shohei last night.
Wait, Shohei. What? Say that again?
This is from Spike Magruder. We'll have to fact check this. Mike Trout has had 3 swinging strikes and only 24. Three swinging strikes. He had 2. Did he have 3 in this at-bat? Yes, he did have 3. 3 swinging strikes. So he has only had 3 swinging strike at-bats in only 24 of his 6,174 career MLB plate appearances. He had 3 swinging strikes in that at-bat to settle the World Baseball Classic last night.
That's incredible.
And Rick Ohtani. Ohtani versus Trout, Bird versus Magic, Gill versus the Westgate, some of the greatest moments in sports history. Hashtag let's ride. We'll get to more tweets. Will Hill, kind enough to continue with us. VEASAN's own Will Hill at Not The Will Hill. What's the plug on Twitch, Will?
Twitch.tv/GoBoysNetwork.
There you go.
GoBoys Disc.
All right. Let's go to Friday night. Survivor implications as well. We already sort of called the shot on Friday. Creighton looks pretty obvious as a 10-point favorite against Princeton. Princeton obviously will have something to say about that. Princeton trying to become the second number 15 seed, along with St. Peter's from last year, to get to the Elite Eight. But it's Alabama to begin with Friday night, 7.5-point favorites against the Aztecs. I'm surprised that it keeps, you know, it didn't go down, it went up, settling at 7.5 now. Houston also 7.5-point favorite now against the Hurricane. The Hurricanes, Creighton, 9.5-point favorites, down a tick against Princeton. And then Texas and Xavier to round out the evening. Texas, 4.5-point favorites. What do you like best?
I'll start with San Diego State, Alabama. I'm torn between what I like most between San Diego State and the under. I just think it's sort of like a 66-60 cut type of game where points are at a premium. So, you know, look, you could probably talk me into a 2-team parlay with San Diego State and the under because if San Diego State covers, I would look towards an under here. And I would look towards an under anyway. I just think Alabama, their length, their athleticism can bother San Diego State, who gets stuck offensively at times and goes through these dry spells. On the other side of the ball, San Diego State does a really good job at what Bama's good at, getting to the rim, the three-point line. They're good at slowing the pace down. So I think that I really like the under in that one. Miami-Houston, I would take the points. I just think their guard play is really good. I think they play bigger than they are. You know, they were outsized against Indiana, but they were able to hang on the glass and do a decent job rebounding. I think Houston's good, but a little bit overrated. So I think Miami can hang in that game. And I know nobody likes that coach, but man, he seems to know his way around this tournament. Made the Elite Eight last year, went to the Final Four with George Mason. He's a good tournament coach. So I like Miami plus the points. I was on Princeton pretty big Saturday against Missouri. I think they get run out of the building here. I just think they're a tough team to prep for on short rest. They run that motion offense. You know, not a lot of teams run that. They're, you know, they take time off the clock. They know how to slow the pace down. I just think Creighton's better in terms of shot making, bigger, quicker. I just think Creighton's going to have all the advantages here. There's some times here where Cinderella, when it comes undone, it comes undone and it can be ugly. We saw that with St. Peter's last year. So I think Creighton wins this game and wins it pretty comfortably. As far as Texas Xavier, to me, that's an over game. I would lean towards Texas. I don't like laying 4, 4.5 for some reason in this game. If I had to, I would. And I think that's an over. I just think Xavier's an over team. I think they can score. I don't think they're any good on defense. I would expect Texas to move on in that game.
I was with you on Princeton against Mizzou. Had him in Survivor. I will say this. If Creighton somehow loses to Princeton on Friday, Survivor will be effectively over at that point. There will be so many people, such a high percentage on Creighton. So real quick, because I want to get your NBA thoughts. Your favorite one on Thursday, your favorite one on Friday then is?
Florida Atlantic on Thursday, and I will go – I'll actually go Creighton on Friday.
Oh, okay. Lay in the wood there. All right. You into the mind of Will Hill, VEASAN's own Will Hill, you have seen an interesting parallel between a couple teams in the NBA. Please.
It's really fascinating. When you look at the Clippers and the Nets, they're both the little brothers in their city. They both had these upstart seasons in 2019 where they make the playoffs, they sort of overachieve. And then right after the season, they get these superstars. The Nets get Durant and Irving, the Clippers get Kyrie and Kawhi. And since then, it's just all gone haywire. I mean, neither team is going to really finish the job. The Nets are done in terms of that version of Durant and Kyrie. And the Clippers, it looks like it's heading that direction now with all the Paul George injuries. Remember last year he had COVID during the play-in game, Kawhi being hurt. There's just so many parallels between these teams and the path they've taken. It's like there's a curse on both of them.
I forgot about the COVID issue as well. Okay, and go ahead, Kelly. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say I was watching that Cavs Nets game last night. Even the Nets announcers they're talking about. It's like oohing and aahing over Donovan Mitchell, and it's like to Will's point. They're like, can you imagine if the Knicks got this guy? Like they almost got this guy. It's like they're sitting there, like the little brother situation of like this isn't fair. Like this isn't fair.
This isn't fair. You're with me, Will, on the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander take.
I'm with you there. A lot of these markets, like you said, are down. I don't know if it's because of the Paul George injury. Do we have a comeback? It's not called comeback player of the year. It's most improved player in the NBA. Yeah, is it still up anywhere?
Not that I see. It's a lot. There's a lot down.
Yeah, we're
today.
Up at DK.
Yeah, DraftKings does that.
Minus 500 on Markkanen, plus 350 on SGA. Ooh. Brunson 14.
Gots to bet that.
Yeah, I think you have to. And I would look at all sorts of pro Thunder bets. I think there's been this assumption that they're going to pull the plug here and they're going to tank. And look, there's 9-10 games left in the season. It's too late to tank. Even if you do, you're getting a 1% chance of getting Wembanyama. You can get into the play and lose, and you still get your lottery ball. So I think Oklahoma City's going to go for it. They were plus 125 yesterday to make the play-in. I'm not seeing play-in markets now. I think it's only to make the playoffs after the play-in settles. And I see plus 160, which I'm less enthused about, but I'd be looking to bet all sorts of Thunder stuff. And I think if they do get in, especially if they get in the main draw, I think Alexander's going to have a great shot to win that award. And they play at the Clippers, at the Lakers, then the schedule sort of eases up here. So I'd be looking to bet all sorts of Thunder bets. And man, they were 10-12-1 to just make the play, and not that long ago, a month or two ago. So been a great season here for OKC.
Just to clarify, you did make a bet on them to make the playoffs?
Playoffs at longer prices, but play-in yesterday was up there at plus 125 just to be one of the 7, 8, 9 or 10 seeds.
Those are definitely down. The play-ins are definitely down.
Yeah, those are down. I'm with you on a yes on the playoff bet for them. I mean, there's a chance they don't even need the play-in tournament, Will. Like, I guess I would be surprised if they don't end up there, but
5 through 12 separated by two games in the loss column.
Yeah, I'll throw one last quick one at you. How about the Kings 25-1 to win the West? Can they get in the Western Conference Finals with all these other teams beat up and hurt? Can they get to at least the Conference Finals where you can hedge out at 25 or so to 1?
I think the answer is yes.
I mean, who's standing in their way? Who can you definitively say is standing in their way and there's no chance that they can't get there? Like, this thing's wide open.
It's going to be fascinating. And the Kings just feel like no one really takes them seriously still. Right. Will, always appreciate it, man. Good luck with all the games tonight. Good luck in Survivor.
Gilly, appreciate you guys. See ya. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill, everybody. Not the Will Hill. That's two E's with a V. In Survivor. I love that he's playing Survivor. By the way, I'm 12th out of that big pool. But, you know, Felik is 28th. I don't want to sell him short. He's doing well, too. Coming back, Women's Hoops next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do. Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, you'll both receive a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER as always. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. We get tweets at Beating the Book. My son is my hero. He said, oh, Joe Davis did the game last night, though Brian Anderson is terrific also. Yeah, I made that correction earlier. Thank you. My son is my hero. They are both very, very good at what they do. Jeff Staples. Gil, have you ever done a auto-correlated bet with your short tennis dogs and favorites with the over in total games? It seems more often than not the short ones would go three sets or at least one tiebreak. Most sportsbooks will not let you make that correlated parlay of a dog with the over in total games. And it looks like Iga Swiatek is out of the Miami Open.
Oh,
Iga,
wow.
Iga Swiatek, who lost in stunning fashion, the way that she lost in the semifinals of Indian Wells, because Iga never gets rolled. And she got beat 6-2, 6-2, I believe it was. Don't hold me to that score. But it was of that ilk against Elena Rybakina, the eventual champion at Indian Wells. Iga got all the way to the semis. Iga said afterwards on Twitter, she said, I had a rib injury and I tried and it was tough, but I couldn't play at my highest level. She has now pulled out. She says it was a very difficult decision to make, but I have no doubts that health is the most important. And she also writes it in Polish as well for all of her Polish fans, her native Poland. Iga out of the Miami Open. And so the run on Rybakina Sabalenka futures ought to, if you still have them up at the sports book, run quick.
I just checked a couple. A lot of these are still posted. I mean, these numbers, they have not been adjusted yet for Iga.
And so I am making them right now, my friend. Let me get to them real quick.
Who do you like, Rybakina and?
Sabalenka and Rybakina, just make them both right
make
now.
Make them both? Okay.
Make them both. Oh, man, I can't get there quick enough.
And DraftKings just pulled.
I got Sabalenka in. I did not get Rybakina in. Because Rybakina is on Iga's side in this split second before I could make it. They took Rybakina down.
Oof.
So I got Sabalenka in at 5-1, which is still a great bet. I wish I had gotten both in. But now Sabalenka and Rybakina are the clear favorites to meet in the finals. Barbora Krejcikova and Jesse Pegula might have something to say about that.
The other one I'll just say real quick is if you're looking at books and running a look at books real quick, look for some of the alternative markets and not just the win markets. Like I'm seeing they still haven't adjusted. They took down the overall futures at DraftKings, but they didn't adjust the to reach the final markets. Like mm-hmm. Iga's still up there. So like kind of if you're seeing futures get pulled down, look at some of the other markets the book might have.
I just got Rybakina. They are slow to pull these down. I did too high of a bet on Rybakina. They didn't pull it down. So I got them both. I got Sabalenka and Rybakina at 5-1 and 6-1. Sabalenka 5-1, Rybakina 6-1 respectively.
Nice.
But Iga has pulled out of the Miami Open. So the injury was real. And the injury, by the way, explains perfectly why what happened to her at Indian Wells. There's video of her like carrying her bag with over one shoulder as opposed to two, which she normally does the whole thing. So that's a moment to bet if you can right now in the Miami Open on the women's side, if it's still up. Let's talk some women's hoops, because as much as we give air to the March Madness men's side of things, this gentleman came on last week. His name is Dan Omataya. He's a betting analyst for Spread the Floor, presented by Her Hoops Stats, and gave us a Vatek future at 40-1. And here we are now in the Sweet 16, and they're still 40-1. Is that true, Kelly? They still haven't moved? But the big thing in the women's tournament thus far is that you have two number one seeds that got knocked out. Not only Stanford, but maybe even more shocking fashion, Indiana. That never happens in the women's tournament. You do not see two number one seeds be eliminated by the Sweet 16. And here is Dan Omataya. That is a historical anomaly, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's been at least 20 years since we've seen more than one. And I think 15 years since we've seen one number one seed not make the Sweet 16. And I thought this Indiana team was probably one of the best teams to give South Carolina a shot. So super, super disappointing. I mean, I'd say dogs are barking, but I mean, it's in the second round, it was 8-8. So, but the dogs that the did bark won outright. The Ole Miss game, I think I tweeted that I expected them to win the first half. I loved Coach Yeo getting 10 points. I think that moved up to 12 by game time and they were in control. I think led wire to wire. I mean, just a a dominant defensive performance. I think Stanford is the only team in history to lose when your opponent shoots 26% or less.
Oh, man.
And they've done that twice this season.
Oh, man. Well,
crazy.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's interesting about all that is even with the two number one seeds, Stanford and Indiana, going down, Stanford and Indiana, South Carolina, I mean, these odds look the same, right? South Carolina's minus 275. I would have expected them to be a little to be even a little higher than that, but they're still minus 275. Yet, your pick of Virginia Tech, which you gave out at 40 to 1, remains 40 to 1. And if you sort of power ranked women's basketball teams right now, the remaining 16, which I believe they did at ESPN.com, Va Tech was in their top four. How do you feel here? Would you still make the bet on Virginia Tech?
You know, I think I might, but I'd also sprinkle Tennessee. I mean, the scary thing here is I think the national champion matchup. If Maryland can't pull it off, I mean, I did say I like them at 5 to 1.
Yes, you do.
I think they're gonna get by Notre Dame, and they're gonna end up playing South Carolina in the Elite Eight. And there's definitely a chance there. Maryland looks incredible, but I think that national championship matchup is gonna be UConn, Virginia Tech, or Tennessee. Super impressed with Tennessee. They're one of the bigger disappointment teams. You know, I think they were ranked top five preseason, fell out, and now they've really found their stride. I think one of six teams to cover both games in the tournament. Granted, they've had an easy road. It's a fascinating matchup with Virginia Tech coming up here on Saturday. I think it was a 1 or 3 point win for Virginia Tech last time they played. Like 56 to 51 or 56, 55 should be a dogfight, should be able to slow Tennessee down. Tennessee has been shooting at an unprecedented rate too. Three pointers are falling. I do love the under in that game already. I think it's at 138.5.
You like the under in that game. Yeah. 130. Yes. By the way, that is the closest line of the Sweet 16 games. These are begin on Friday, but that particular game, Va Tech and Tennessee, is on Saturday with the Hokies 1 point favorites against Tennessee. Obviously the biggest spread on the board is South Carolina. South Carolina going for back-to-back titles under Dawn Staley, trying to have an undefeated season. They're 18-point favorites against the Bruins of UCLA. What is the game that you like the best? Is it Virginia Tech, or is there another game that you like the best?
I think I'm not believing in Miami. I know they just came off one of the biggest wins of the season, but Nova has looked strong against two really difficult mid-major matchups. Florida Gulf Coast is one of those teams that plays a style like nobody else, and they were able to cover comfortably after only leading six at half. They never looked back. Our model predicts a 9-point win for them. I think the spread is 3.5 at BetMGM. I think it's already up to 4 at certain places, but I do like Villanova. They have arguably one of the best players in the country in Maddie Segrist. Should roll. Do like the under there. We're going to see a lot of unders, I think, in the Sweet 16 Elite Eight. Just it's typically what we see in the history of this tournament. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably my favorite. I mean, I don't hate putting betting UCLA. I mean, they had South Carolina on the ropes in Columbia earlier this season. They're definitely hitting their stride. Blew a 17-point lead against Oklahoma and ended up still covering in the fourth quarter. Just dominating performance. Their guards are playing well, hitting shots. They ran a 2-3 against South Carolina, and it worked for the majority of the game when they last played, because South Carolina gets most of their points from the inside. Thing to note, it is still basically a home game for South Carolina. They're playing in Greenville. They're going to have a ton of fans. So that's good to know. Good thing to know about UConn is they have literal fans all over the country. So that 10-point spread is going to be, I wouldn't say somewhat easy, but they're not having any trouble in March so far. Ohio State has the shooters to do it, but a little scary to me. But future-wise, like I said, I don't hate put a little something on Tennessee as well if they have the same odds as Virginia Tech, and then hopefully getting something live.
They do.
I think it was
40
plus,
to 1.
plus 400 to make the Final Four right now at FanDuel is what I saw.
On Tennessee?
On Tennessee, I think it was 370 pre-tournament for Virginia Tech. It's down to 270. So hoping we catch something there.
All right, Daniel Mataya at Dr. Mataya. That's M-A-T-A-Y-A on Twitter. But just to clarify again, for these games, Virginia Tech, the under in that game as well, and then also Villanova and the under in that game as well.
Villanova and the under.
Okay.
Yep.
Dano, great seeing you again. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Y'all take care.
Dano Mattiello, everybody. Spread the Floor, presented by Her Hoop Stats. Mike Pritchard on the NFL next.